on Mother's Day, I took the mothers to task, preached at them real hard, told them that when it was Father's Day, I would work on the guys. And so we are working on the guys today. We're going to go to the book of Job. And Job chapter 1 and verse 8 is where we're going to start. We're going to talk about a dad named Job. Amen. Got any dads around here named Job? Got any dads around here that have jobs? Amen. Job chapter 1 and verse 8 is where we're starting. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Now this is God talking about a man. God talking about a man. It's too bad Rose isn't in here. God talking about a man. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? This is God talking. A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Imagine a man like that. Praise God. Let's give God some glory here today. Jesus, we just thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your goodness to us. We give you glory and praise today. Speak to our hearts, O God, today. Help us to serve you, Lord Jesus, and to love you, Lord God. We pray it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise God. Shake somebody's hand and tell them it's good to see them. You can be seated if you like. Now, Job had such a reputation that they're still talking about him in the New Testament. They're still referring to Job. And when James is writing to the church in James chapter 5 and verse 10, he says, take my brethren, the prophets. So he's referring to the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of, he says, take my brethren, the prophets that have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example. Now this is scripture. James is speaking to the church and he says, here's an example. Here's an example. Take the prophets for an example. And so we need to take the prophets for an example. Look at the example that you are taking the prophets for. An example of suffering affliction. Come on now. You want an example of suffering affliction? And of patience. Everybody say patience. Take the prophets for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, look at this. That's what the word behold means. Check this out. Look at this. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Endure. So we have an example of endurance. You know, a lot of people, they want an example of operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And they're willing to follow that example. They're willing to follow the example of working miracles. But they don't want anything to do with an example of patience. An example of suffering affliction. And they don't even know the definition of the word endurance, and they don't want to know. Now, he has another example here. He says, ye have heard of the patience of Job. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. Now what that is talking about is the end of Job, where he ended up. He went through a lot of things. He went through a hard time. He endured a lot of things. It required patient endurance to do that, but it was a benefit to Job because he had patience, because he endured, his end was better than his beginning. His end was better than his beginning. Amen, amen, amen. That the Lord, now check this out. Check this out. What he's saying. What he's saying is that the way that God dealt with Job, the way God dealt with Job was God had pity on Job. And God was full of tender mercy toward Job. Job went through some hard times. But James isn't saying that God was mean to Job. That God was unfair with Job. That God was too hard on Job. He's saying that God had pity on Job. And that God was merciful to Job. And so, when you're going through it, it's not God being mean to you. It's God having pity on you. And it's God having mercy on you. Well, I can see I've convinced all of one person. So we'll work on that a little bit. Clement of Alexandria made this statement a long time ago. It is impossible for a man to be steadily good except by his own choice. For if a man be compelled to be good, then he is not truly good. For he is not what he is by his own choice. For it is the freedom of each one that makes true goodness and reveals real wickedness. Job was not good, and he was good because God said he was good. Job was not good because somebody made him. He was good because he chose to be good. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have to be compelled, if the only reason that you are good is because you have to be compelled, which means there's somebody standing over you with a bat and telling you, if you're not good, I'm going to hit you in the head. I'm going to put you in jail. I'm going to lock you up. You're not really good, because the only reason you're being good is because you're being compelled to be good. If you're truly good, it's because you choose to be good. Job had no one compelling him to be good. He chose to be good. He made that choice. Amen, amen, amen. There's a Chinese proverb says this: if there is righteousness in the heart, there will be beauty in the character. If there is beauty in the character, there will be harmony in the home. If there is harmony in the home, there will be order in the nation. If there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. And everybody's looking for peace. But the only way that peace will ever come to this world, if it starts by somebody getting righteousness in their heart. They've got to learn to love righteousness. They've got to learn to love righteousness. They've got to make that choice. And if the people of the world choose to be righteous, there will be peace. But until they choose to be righteous, there will be no peace. Sorry, it doesn't make any difference what all of the political figures do. There's still not going to be peace until the world chooses to be righteous. Now, I realize that's Chinese proverbs, that's not scripture, but it's still true. So, let's go to Proverbs chapter 14 and look at a scripture, verse 34. Check it out. Righteousness exalteth a nation. A thing that lifts a nation up, the thing that causes a nation to prosper, is when the people are righteous that's in that nation. Hello. But sin is a reproach, which means a shame, a disgrace to any people. Now, they can have all of the they can have all of the gay pride parades they want, but being gay is sin, and you may be proud about it, but it is a disgrace. and a shame. It doesn't matter how many laws they pass. The word of God is still true. And so is that's not the only sin that there is, but we need to understand that there is great value in righteousness and in making right choices, in choosing to be good, in choosing to be righteous. And so we need to understand that. Now, a lot of times, people, their attitude when they have sinned is that the thing that causes them shame is what people say about them. And it's what people say about them that brings disgrace on them. That's why they want to pass laws making it illegal to read scriptures that say that being gay is sin. Because they don't want people, in their opinion, to bring disgrace on them and shame for their choices. And it's not just that. But in fact, it's not what people say about you that brings the disgrace. It's the sin that brings the disgrace. So, a lot of times folks are, you know, they're all caught up in, well, everybody in the church is talking about me. And that really shouldn't be the issue. What you should be focused on is repenting for your sin. Because it's not what everybody in the church is saying about you that brings disgrace on you. It's the sin, the choice that you made that brings disgrace on you. And I'm in scripture now. That's not a Chinese proverb. Hello? Praise God. Well, here's the thing. Job made a choice. Everybody's got a right to make a choice. You've got a right to make a choice. I'm not going to fight with you about that. It's your choice. I'm not even going to try to compel you to be good. It's your choice. I will tell you it's your choice. And I will tell you that your choice will have eternal consequences. But it's your choice. Go ahead. Choose to bring disgrace on yourself. Choose to bring shame on yourself. Go ahead. It's your choice. Don't blame it on me. You made the choice. Amen. Job chose to be righteous. Amen. Why did he choose to be righteous? Because he loved God. He loved God. Job loved God. And he wasn't worried about what everybody else was doing because he loved God and he wanted to please God. So he chose to do what God wanted him to do. Not what he wanted to do or what his flesh wanted to do or what somebody else wanted to do. He chose to do what God wanted him to do. Amen, amen, amen. And we love God because he first loved us. Look at this in 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. You You can say you're a Christian all you want. You can say you love God all you want. But the Lord knows the ones that are His. It doesn't really matter what anybody else is saying about you or what they think. The Lord knows those that are His. And the ones that are His are going to choose to depart from iniquity. They make that choice. Nobody makes them. They make that choice. The Lord knew that Job was His, that Job loved God, and Job made the choice to do what was right. He made that choice. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God, praise God. And God knew it. God knew that Job loved God. God knew that Job loved God. God knew that Job loved God. If you love God here today, God knows that you love Him. Amen, amen, amen. He knows. He knows who loves God and who doesn't love God. And the fact that Job loved God brought special blessings upon Job's life. It got God's attention, obviously. God paid attention to Job because Job loved God. I find a lot of people interesting because they want God's attention right now, all the time, but they don't even think about God except when they're in trouble. And then they're mad at God because they don't have God's attention. And God, if you love me, why did you let that happen? Well, it was because Job loved God. Now, this guy they call St. Ambrose, he said, "The devil tempts that he may ruin. God tests that he may crown." And that is very true. And it doesn't make any difference what the devil's promising you. When he comes to you and he begins to tempt you, his total goal is to destroy you. It's always been that way. It's never not been that way. It's that way with everybody. It's that way with you. Whatever the devil promises you, whether it's riches, fame, or whether it's a lot of pleasure, his purpose in promising you that is destruction. You have an enemy. He wants to destroy you. That's his purpose. And so the reason the temptation comes to you is to destroy you. But God allows tests into your life because he wants you to receive a crown. And the only way that you can receive the crown is by passing the test. And so he allows tests so that you can receive a crown into your life. Praise God, praise God. Somebody said God always tests us to bring out the best, while Satan tempts us to bring out the worst. Now, a lot of times we see that just the opposite when we are going through a test. We think, oh God, why are you letting this happen to me? But he's doing that to bring out the best. It was that way in Job's life. He wanted to bring out the best in Job's life. And it is the devil that intends to bring out the worst. And so we already read this, but the Lord brought Satan's attention to Job. It was like if you have some kind of a treasure, and you get that treasure out and show it to others. Look what I have. Maybe it's this fish you caught while you're fishing, or maybe it's this trophy you got while you was hunting, or maybe it's this dress you found at Nordstrom's or whatever. You get that out, you want to show it off. You want to demonstrate it. You want people to see it. And God brings Job out. He calls Satan's attention to Job. Have you considered my servant, Job? Look how good he is. Look what a great man he is. He's perfect. He's the best man on earth. God's calling Satan's attention to Job. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" And that's always his take on it. He's always going to say, and when you got people pointing their fingers at folks in the church, that's what they say. The only reason that you live for God is because of the blessings. And there's actually some folks that is the only reason they live for God. And as soon as those blessings seem to quit, they stop. And that is a mistake. Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side that hath blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? And so Satan tells God, you are protecting Job, and that's why he's living for you. The fact is that God was indeed protecting Job. He was blessing his life because Job had made the right choices. And so God was blessing his life. He did indeed have a hedge around Job. Now, for all of you that are sitting there thinking, I wish God would build a hedge around me, I will tell you he did. There is. Because you have an enemy, and the only thing that has stopped that enemy from destroying you is the hedge that God has around your life. Even when God takes down the hedge, he sets limits on what Satan can do to Job. Satan wanted to kill him. God said, you can't kill him. Amen, 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 amen. We need to understand the situation we're in. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And so Job was going to be put to the test. He was going to suffer the loss of everything that God had blessed him with. And the test was, is he still going to love God? Or is he going to curse God? And so when you find yourself in that circumstance, what are you going to do? Now here's the thing. God believed in Job. Now we always talk about whether we believe in God or not. This is a whole different ballgame. It's fine for you to believe in God. I think you're stupid. The Bible says you're stupid if you don't believe in God. And so, but the question is, Does God believe in you? Does God think you will go through the test and pass the test? God believed in Job. Amen. So he said, okay, Satan, have at it. The first thing Satan does is he takes away all Job's wealth. He brought a recession to Job's economy. Amen, 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 amen. And then Satan killed all of Job's children. Not just one. All of them. I don't think there's any blow that a father could take that is harder than losing all of his kids, having all of his children die. Job had to deal with that. He didn't just shrug his shoulder and say, oh, well, that hurt. It hurt. It touched him way down in his heart. And then Satan took Job's health. Now, I don't know much about women, but men place great importance on their ability to do things and their strength. And when their body loses that ability, when it becomes weak, when they lose their health, that is hard for a man. And in their mind, they're still thinking, I can do this! Usually that thought winds them up in the hospital. Maybe I shouldn't ride those bikes like I used to. Maybe I shouldn't do that anymore. Maybe I shouldn't, because I'm not what I used to be. And that's hard for a man to take. And most men, and I've heard him say it, and I think I've said it myself, most men, their response is, I'd rather die. Yeah. But it happened to Job. And that wasn't enough. Then he got boils all over his body. Now, I don't know. I'm assuming that Job wasn't the world's ugliest guy. He was probably good looking, if there is such a thing as a guy that's good looking. And never seen one I was attracted to, but it's possible there's a guy that's good looking. And I've seen a lot of them that I wondered what she saw in them. Anyway, but here he's not good looking anymore. When you got running sores all over your body and there's pus running down and dripping on the ground, Most, with the exception of Lori, most women would not find that particularly interesting. So check this out. Job's a man, right? Now, his property's been destroyed. His home has been destroyed, and it's just sitting there in ashes. So Job goes and sits in those ashes too. And he doesn't have any possessions left. All he's got are some broken pots. He can't afford to go to the doctor, even though they might have had state-funded health care. He still couldn't afford to go to the doctor. He couldn't find a doctor that was interested in him, and or that could help him. And so he had nothing to do except take those broken pots and scrape those sores on his body and try to find some relief. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a sore on your body that had pus in it or not, but that stuff stinks. It smells bad. And his body's covered with this stuff. And he's sitting in ashes. Come on. So, how many of you think you got it real bad today? Amen, amen, amen. And here comes Job's wife. And she knows the man that she married. But this bum sitting in the ash with the sores, that's not the man she married. And the thought comes into her mind, sure does a lot of good to serve God, doesn't it? Look at you. His wife said unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Give it up." You know, he might have still had some insurance left on him. And she's looking to collect. Why are you hanging around, you worthless piece of junk? Why don't you curse God? God will kill you and I can collect. So if you're married here today, if you're a wife, what are you going to do when your husband goes through a time of testing? You going to encourage him to die? You're worth a lot more to me dead than you are alive. Hello? What are you going to do? Are you going to do like Job's wife? Say, why don't you just forget about serving God? Or are you going to encourage them, pray for them? What are you going to do? But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. Now, Job was pretty smart. He didn't say, you foolish woman. He said, that sounds like something a foolish woman would say. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Well, there's a lot in that. You ever sin with your lips? Let things come out of your mouth that it would have been better not to let come out of your mouth. But his attitude was, hey, God's been so good to me. God's been so good to me. I've been willing to receive every blessing that God's placed upon my life. And if I'm willing to receive the blessings of God, should I not be willing to have enough faith and confidence in God that even when he allows some bad thing to happen to me, that I know that the end of it is going to be good for me? Somehow or another, this terrible tragedy that's come into my life is going to accomplish something that's good. And so, this is where he was before all this happened. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. So Job was not just your ordinary man. He had not just come down a notch. He hadn't gone from being lower middle class and just dropped into upper poverty level. But he had come from the top of the heap down to the bottom in a very short time. And that is a very difficult thing for anybody to experience. One of the important things of life is our friends. And when these times come, you begin to reevaluate things and you begin to understand what's truly important. Dale Carnegie said you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get people interested in you. And some people, they go through life without friends. They can never seem to get anybody that wants to be their friend. And the reason that is that they are trying to get people to be interested in them. And so they cannot make friends. But anyone that's truly interested in someone else has all kinds of friends. That's a hint. Amen, 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 amen. Friends. Friends. Reputation. Be more concerned with your character than with your reputation. Because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. So what are you more concerned about, your reputation or your character? And again, some folks, they spend a lot of time trying to shut everybody up that's saying something about them, when what really needs to be fixed is their character. If their character was right, they wouldn't need to worry about what somebody was saying about them. Amen, amen, amen. Family. Family is important. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, which means an unbeliever. And so, family is important. We need to be focused on our families and on taking care of our families. I would suggest to you today that your family needs more than just food to eat. They need more than a house to live in. They need more than clothes to wear. Their greatest need is a relationship with God. Their greatest need is to know God. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We live in a time when husbands are abandoning, and a lot of times they're not even husbands, but a lot of times they're abandoning their families. They're just leaving them behind. And that's the spirit of the day that we're in. They want to go pursue their own pleasure. They're not concerned about their families. But as fathers, and Job certainly was, we need to be concerned about all of our family's needs. We can get so focused, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be concerned about providing for them food and clothes and a place to live. We need to have that as our concern, but we need to understand that our responsibility goes beyond that. There are many other needs that our family has. And Job even provided for their spiritual need. He saw a need in his children, and he's trying to take care of that spiritual need that they had. Job says, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and offered offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. He was continually concerned about their spiritual need. He was continually concerned about them. And so he went about to sanctify them. He went about to sanctify his children. One of the things that talks about is sanctify means to set apart, to make holy. And so as a father, Job understood that he had a responsibility to sanctify his children. And he went through great efforts to set them apart from the world and to separate them unto God. Come on, somebody. Amen, 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 amen. Dads need to understand that there is a need for sanctifying our kids. We cannot afford to allow our kids to be like the world. We can get caught up in that mindset that says, I just want to... I just want to help my kids fit into this world. That ought not to be your desire. Your desire ought to be, I don't want my kids to fit into this world. I want my kids to fit into the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to do everything I can to sanctify them, to set them apart, to separate them from the world. One of the best things that you can do to separate your family from the world is to keep the world out of your house. Keep the world out of your house. Amen, amen, amen. Don't let it in. Keep it out. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So, one of the things that Job did is he taught his children the ways of God. He taught his children about God. He taught his children. He made an effort to put the principles that he lived by and the principles that his relationship with God was on into the hearts of his children. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. One of the ways that a father does that is by setting the standards for the behavior of his children. A father's responsibility is to draw lines. Job drew the lines. We're going to go this far. We're not going to go any farther. This is where it stops. This is the limit. And so it is a father's responsibility to do that for his family. And obviously the answer to that is to draw those lines where God wants those lines drawn. Because we're trying to separate our children unto God.
Let me get on thin ice here. If you're a mother here today, don't resist your husband when he's trying to draw lines. You need to support your husband. Well, praise God. Another thing that Job did is he prayed for his children. He didn't just pray once. He prayed continually. He is praying for them, offering sacrifices for them, concerned about their spiritual welfare. He is praying for his children. I think fathers would do well to spend some time praying for their children. Amen. I would suggest you don't want to wait until they're teenagers. You might want to start praying for them while they're still in their mother's womb. Praying for those children. And Job sacrificed to God for them. He made sacrifices continually. If they weren't willing to do the sacrifice, Job said, I'm going to do it for them. That cost money. It took effort. He was making sacrifice for them. He might have run into an attitude sometime or another that says, why are you doing that? Why are you spending all that money? Why are you doing all of that sacrifice all the time? The answer was, it's an investment in my children. You see, sacrifices sometimes have far-reaching effects. Can go far beyond the time or the reason or whatever it is that you're making the sacrifice for. And not only that, but it can affect your family, even down through the generations. Amen, 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 amen. I don't know if you remember this lady or not, but she was in the 1992 Olympic Trials Marathon, and she's running in that race, and the female has to run 26 miles and 385 yards. Can you imagine somebody actually running 26 miles? I can't even imagine that. But anyway, they got to run 26 miles, 385 yards in less than 2 hours and 45 minutes. And so she's been running in that race, and she's been running for 2 hours and 43 minutes, and she comes down to the final straightaway. Just a very short distance left to go. And with only 200 yards left, she fell down. And she's exhausted. She's worn out. She's having a hard time getting back up. The crowd is screaming, "Get up! Get up! Get up!" Amen, amen, amen. And so she finally gets back up. She's got 1 minute left. And she's walking. She can't run anymore. She's walking toward the finish line. And with 5 yards to go, that's 15 feet, she's got 10 seconds to make 15 feet. She fell down again. And she can't get back up. So she's crawling toward that finish line. Obviously, the crowd is screaming. She's crawling toward that finish line. And she manages to get across the finish line with 3 seconds left. I'm talking about endurance. 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 You know, the Bible talks about that great cloud of witnesses that we have. And sometimes, now, I'm sure none of you ever have this experience, but I have more than once, where you just feel like you can't go any further. You've given it everything you can give it, and you just can't go any further. There's this great cloud of witnesses, the Bible says. They made it. And when you come to that place where you feel like you can't go any further, that great cloud of witnesses is screaming, "Get up. Get up. We were there. And we kept going just one more step. Just keep going. Don't ever give up." Amen, amen, amen. Look at Matthew 10 and verse 22. "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." That's encouraging. Especially if you're somebody that wants everybody to love you. And now you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. But check it out. "Even when everybody hates you, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. That one that just keeps going. If he has to crawl, he crawls. The altar is a good place to crawl to. I've literally had an experience in my life where I tried to come to the altar. I couldn't make it. I got about right here. It's as far as I could go. But God met me there. Hello. Amen, amen, amen. The secret is to endure to the end. Job lost all his money. He lost all his money. He lost all his money. He lost all his wealth. He lost it all. He wasn't just a little bit short at the end of the month. He lost it all. He had nothing left. It was all gone. His home was in ashes. He had nothing. His source of income, his cattle and his sheep were all gone. He didn't have a job. There was no income. There was no unemployment. There was no bailout. And his attitude is, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The thing that Job demonstrates is that he's not controlled by money. And whether he's going to serve God or not is not determined by how much money he's got. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. In all this, having lost it all, in all this, Job, sin not. Hey. When things get tough, when things go wrong, when you're broke and when nothing's working out, chances are you're going to hear this little voice that says, you know, you might as well, you just might as well go out there and sin, you know, go get drunk, go take some drugs, go have an affair. You just might as well. Don't look at me like that. Because I know how it works. But having lost everything, Job didn't listen to that voice, the devil speaking to him, saying, Job, and even talks through Job's wife, you might as well just give it all up, Job. Just go have some fun. You don't have much life left. You might as well go have a good time until you die. You're going to be gone anyway. In all this, he didn't sin. He didn't use his problem as an excuse to sin. And so many times, you know, somebody sins or whatever, and their response is, well, I have problems. You know, I had a fight with my wife, so I went and got drunk. Well, they do. Amen. And if it's the wife, she blames the husband, so it works both ways. But the lesson that you learn there is that Job valued spiritual things more than material things. And so, where are you at on that? What do you value most? the money in your pocket, your bank account, your savings account, your portfolio. What do you value more, that material wealth or your spiritual wealth that you have with God? What is the most important thing, your material wealth or your relationship with God? And so if we're going to be like Job, the number one thing in our life has to be God. God has to be number one. 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 That's because they want to be number one, or they've got something else that wants to be number one. They don't want God to be number one. God has to be number one. People should be the second thing on your list. And self is down toward the bottom. Things are the third thing on your list. Your material things come after God and people. And we already talked about the loss of his children, but the loss of his children caused him more grief than the loss of his money. Here's a Jewish proverb. If you want to know what a man is really like, take notice how he acts when he loses money. Amen, amen, amen. And so his wife comes along and questions his integrity. And his response is, I'm not going to sin with my lips. And then his friends come along. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar. And they just sit there and look at him. They don't say a word. They're just looking at him. They look at him for a week. Somebody said silence is sometimes the severest criticism. And so they're waiting for him to make a confession and tell them what it was that he did. They were wrong in their judgment. He hadn't sinned. He did not have a secret sin. A lot of people have mistaken ideas. People mistake education for intelligence. They mistake wealth for happiness. And they mistake lust for love. Mistaken ideas. They had mistaken ideas. One of the lessons that we can learn from what Job went through is that life is not always fair. Bad things do happen to good people. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where something goes wrong in your life and you just sit down and you are pounding on the table and you say, it's not fair. I did this, I did that. I did the other thing, and look how it all turns out. Look what happens. Job didn't quit living for God because of what happened to him. He didn't quit living for God because of what his friends said about him. What they accused him of. One of the lessons that you can learn from this is, instead of being like Job's friends, and pointing their finger and saying, okay, Job, what did you do? We should encourage the brother that's going through a trial. Encourage the sister that's going through rough times. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. What was Job's response? Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just because you're going through a hard time,
doesn't mean you can't worship God. Job said in Job 23 and verse 10, He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. My foot hath held His steps. His ways have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. How much importance do you put on the Word of God? Does it make a difference to you whether you get the Word of God every day? Is it more important to you? That's one of the great things about Bible quizzing is that the young people don't realize it, but they're having a feast. We're feasting on the Word of God. This is a feast. Memorizing the Word of God is having a feast. It's like a buffet, and you're getting all of this Word of God in your heart. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I just might as well say it. I think it's a wonderful thing when fathers support their kids and encourage their kids to be Bible quizzers and work with them and try to develop them and try to help them memorize those scriptures and try to put in them a desire for the Word of God, to get the Word of God down in their hearts. Amen. Job could have blamed God, but he didn't. He worshiped God. He wasn't going around being mad at God. A lot of people get bitter and they become resentful when bad things happen. But Job didn't do that. Look at Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He didn't let what happened in his life take away his confidence. He kept his confidence in God. Behold, I go forward, but He is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him, but He knoweth. And so, what's Job saying? I can't feel God. I can't feel God. I can't feel God right now, but I know that He knows the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He understood there was a reason and a purpose for the thing that he was going through. He understood that God had good things in mind for him. Oswald Chambers said, it is not our trust that keeps us, but the God in whom we trust that keeps us. It's not our trust that keeps us, but the God in whom we trust that keeps us. Amen, 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 amen. So who do you trust? Where's your confidence? Money? Friends? Your job? Your strength? Your health? Proverbs said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Job just kept walking with God. No matter what happened, he just kept walking with God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I just don't see how I can tithe when I can't even pay my bills. As one pastor was confronted by a saint that said that, he said, I can't pay my tithe, pastor, because I can't pay my bills. The pastor responded, hey, if I promise to pay your bills, if you fall short, could you tithe for a month? What a deal! Hey, if I pay my tithe, my pastor's going to pay all my bills. I said, sure, I could do that. What a deal. So the pastor responded and said, so you trust me, and I don't have much money, but you can't trust the God of the universe? Hello? Amen, amen, amen. Job gets to that place and he's looking for God, and he opens his mouth and he's saying some things. He's really careful about what he says, but there's created some questions in his mind that aren't being answered, and God appears to him and talks to him, and Job's response is, I've heard thee by the hearing of the ear. But he says, now my eye seeth thee. And so his trouble that he went through, that hard time that he went through, he got a better revelation of God. He came to know God and to see God and to understand God as he never had before. And when he really began to see God, his response was, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Here was a man, he hadn't sinned, he hadn't done wrong. He just didn't have the revelation that he needed. He didn't understand things the way he needed to understand. And so when he repented, God began to speak to him, and he says to Job, Job, these friends here that they've been so critical of you and they have accused you of so much, he said, Job, I want you to pray for your friends. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Brother Clemens preached to us the other day, it's not over. It wasn't over for Job. It's not over for you. Amen. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. After this lived Job 140 years. He still had a lot of time left. He still had a lot of life left. He saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to threaten you by telling you you're going to live 140 years. I'm not going to do that. Amen. So Job died being old and full of days. Praise God, praise God. Let's stand here this morning. Question is, will you pass the test? Because you are going to be put to the test. Right now you're being put to the test. Job was put to the test and he never lost his integrity. He kept living for God, patiently enduring the things that were going on. He never lost his love for God. He continued to love God in spite of everything that happened. And he never lost his confidence in God. No matter what happened, he still had confidence and faith that God was going to bring it all out. And his end was better. Amen, amen, amen. And he became a better person because of what he went through. And the thing that you're going through right now, God intends for it to make you a better person. He intends for it to bring good things in your life. So here's the question. One day, God spoke to Satan. And he said, Satan, I want to show Job off to you. Take a look at Job. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It could be
that the reason you're going through the things you're going through is because God has been showing you off to the devil. And God believes in you. I said, God believes in you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was preaching to dads this morning. If you're here and you're a dad, you're a father, you're going through some things. I would encourage you today to be just like Job, to come before God and worship Him. Worship Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anyone else? You're going through it today. Why don't you just realize this morning that God's been showing you off. He believes in you today. Oh, it just takes patience, endurance. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God's not going to fail. He's not going to come up short. It's going to be worth it all. Praise God. God bless you.